message of grace is brought to you by Christian people who believe the Bible to be the Word of God and who appreciate its power and authority. Within the pages of the Bible itself, there is a God-given design for its study. Rightly dividing the Word of Truth is the key to understanding the Bible. We're glad you've joined us for another interesting look into God's infallible book as Richard Jordan, president of Grace School of the Bible, presents another in a series of messages designed to help you understand and enjoy the Bible. Let's join them now.
We're certainly glad you've joined us today. And we trust that our time together as we study the Word of God will be a blessing and a help to you. It's our desire in this Bible study time to take the Word of God and help you to understand it so that you can enjoy it, so that you can get the profit out of it God put in it for you. And we've come in our studies, and this program, although you're looking at it today in this setting, this program is a long series of studies that we've been having together week after week. And many of you that are watching study with us every week right here at this time in this place. And some of you are probably looking at us today and tuned in for the first time. So whichever way it is, we're glad to have you. And we trust that the things that we go over today will be a help and benefit to you. But for those of you who studied with us, you know that we've been looking at the divine design laid out in the Word of God, and especially and particularly in the epistles of the Apostle Paul, the divine design for the edification of the believer, God's desire for believers, for those who've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ, is that our lives would be stabilized. Now, that doesn't mean he doesn't want everybody else stabilized, too. If you want your life to be stabilized and to be consistent and for it to have the ability to last and contribute, what you need to do is trust Christ as your Savior and get saved. The Bible says that if we sow to the flesh, we'll of the flesh reap corruption. That is, our lives fall apart. Unsaved men and women, boys and girls, young people, their lives are just going to fall apart and disintegrate because that's what sin does. But when you trust Christ as your Savior, then God puts His life in you. He gives you His life, and then His life in you is designed to produce stability as you take the Word of God. Jesus said, "The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." John 6:63 says, "The flesh profits nothing." It isn't physical things that are the issue. It's the Word of God, what God says in His Word. And if you take that Word and store it up in your soul and put it in your soul according to the divine design of the wise master builder. Now, we've been seeing, and we're going to go today and look at the beginning of the foundation of the doctrine. But let me remind you that an edifice, the issue of godly edifying, which is in faith, an edifice is a building. And what we're literally doing is in our inner man building a house of doctrine. Now, if you're going to build a house, you need a blueprint to tell you what to do. Then you need the material. And you have to be very careful to put the proper material in the proper place. You want to put windows where windows go, roofing where roofing goes, flooring where flooring goes, wallboard where wallboard goes, and so forth. You can't put them just indiscriminately. You have to follow the design as to where they go in order for them to function in the way God intends them to function. It's the same way with doctrine. It's the same way with your understanding. Your Christian life will not operate on the basis of ignorance. The big problem in the church, the body of Christ today, and if you just be honest about it, is that the believers have turned away their ears from sound doctrine. Paul told Timothy that the time was going to come when they, that is believers, the body of Christ, would not endure sound doctrine, but would heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they would turn away their ears from the truth. You see, what the greatest need of Christendom today, people say, well, we need a revival, and we need to go pray for revival, and we need to do this. No, you don't need to pray for revival. You'll never find revival by praying for it. The way you get revival is by getting the Word of God, get the Word of God in you, and have the Word of God be your life instead of all the other things. And as long as people are turning away from the truth and won't hear the truth, well, there's no way there can be revival. In order to get the truth, you have to come to the Word of truth. You have to rightly divide the Word of truth. Then you have to get into the Word of God and find out what it is God's doing. And build up in your inner man this edifice of sound doctrine. Now, we've already seen that the doctrine for us today in the dispensation of grace is found in a particular part of the Bible. All the Bible is the Word of God. It's all for us, but it's not all to us, and it's not all about us. So we go to the part of the Word of God that is about us, that is written directly to us, that is the epistles of the Apostle Paul. Paul said, Romans 11:13, I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am the apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. He says in Romans 15 that he was made a minister of Jesus Christ for the Gentiles, to the Gentiles, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable. He said, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God that's given to me, to you, and how that by revelation he made known to me the mystery, as we wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which was in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it's now revealed. What does all that mean? That means that Jesus Christ from heaven's glory, when he saved Saul of Tarsus and transformed him into Paul the apostle, he gave to Paul the apostle a system of knowledge and understanding that had been kept secret. No one knew about it until the time Christ from heaven revealed it to Paul, and through Paul to you and me. And Paul writes that information down in the Word of God. Paul calls his message the preaching of the cross. That is, it's the proclamation of all that God has accomplished through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ at Calvary. And when he writes the book of Romans through Philemon, those epistles that make up the group of his epistles in the Bible, therein is found the doctrine and the walk and the duty and the destiny of the church, the body of Christ, that is for you and me today. As we go to these epistles of Paul, and as we've seen in our studies in the last couple of times together, there is a design in the way God placed these books together in the Bible. And the design and the purpose of that design is found in Romans chapter 1, verse number 11, where Paul says, "For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end that you may be established." God's desire for your life and for my life is that we be established, that we be firmly fixed in the truth, and that the truth be built up in us, and that we be rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith as you've been taught. That is, that the truth of God would take root into our lives and be the thing that brings forth fruit to God's glory. Your Christian life, no one's Christian life, will operate on the basis of ignorance. The Christian life is designed to operate as a response to an intelligent understanding of what it is God says in His Word. That's why Paul goes on to define what establishment is. How do you know if you're established or not? He says in verse 12, that is, that I may be comforted together with you by the mutual faith both of you and of me. When you believe what the Apostle Paul believed, and you think like the Apostle Paul thought, as is laid down in his Word, then you have what he calls establishment. That's the way we gain establishment and stability. The book of Romans is written to establish the believer in the faith. That is, it's written as foundation, establishment, information, and truth. He didn't write the book of Romans to get these people saved. They already were saved. What he does is he lays down the details and the foundation of the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the Revelation. He lays down the foundation of the preaching of the cross. And as you begin the book of Romans, you immediately see that this issue of Paul's apostleship focuses on laying down foundation doctrine for you and me to be able to stand on. And what we're going to do now in the next several weeks, as we study through the book of Romans, we're going to look at the four different areas of the foundation, four foundation stones that the Apostle Paul lays in the book of Romans in order to give stability in the life of a believer, in order to stabilize you and me so that we can live on planet Earth for God's glory, having the equipment that God has given us in operation in our life so that it's not I, but Christ that lives in us and lives His life through us for His glory. Now, the first section in the first foundation stone is the first five chapters of the book of Romans, chapter 1 through 5. And those chapters deal with the issue of justification by grace through faith plus nothing. The first thing you have to understand, folks, is how God Almighty Himself in the person of Jesus Christ has dealt with our sins. He's dealt with the condemnation and the guilt and the wrath and all of the ramifications of our sins. And He's dealt with those things freely by His grace at the cross of Calvary. Now, as you begin to study that, you begin to see how Paul lays out an understanding of that in Romans 1-5. Today I want you to look with me at chapter number 1. Because the first thing that he deals with, and as he begins to lay out the doctrine of the gospel and the foundation of it, the first thing he deals with is the issue of the wrath of God. Romans chapter 1, verse 18, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness." The first thing he deals with is the issue of the justice of God. God's justice has to be satisfied. And the first chapter, second chapter, and third chapter deal with the issue of the need that we have of justification before God. It deals with the issue of condemnation. The justice of God, God's holiness, God's integrity is made up of two of His attributes. First, there's His righteousness. Righteousness is the standard of God's holiness. That is His absolute, complete, total rightness. He's always right. He's perfect. His righteousness. That's the standard of His holiness. His justice is the function of His holiness that requires the righteous standard to be met. Now, if you take the righteousness of God and the justice of God and you put them together, you have the holiness of God, or you have the integrity of God. And what Paul begins to do in Romans chapter 1, and we'll see in this study chapter 1, then chapter 2, then chapter 3, he deals with this issue of God's justice having to be dealt with. The first thing he says in chapter 1, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven. In Paul's gospel, God's wrath isn't poured out, it's delayed. But the revelation of God's wrath is still made known from heaven through the message committed to the Apostle Paul. He says in verse 19, and if you want to understand why you can look around you in the world today and see the mess the world's in, and the controversy that the world's in, and the turmoil that is about us on every hand, this passage will explain it to you. Now, I know sometimes people like to go into hand-wringing, you know, or they like to get on talk shows on the television or the radio or in the neighborhoods or whatever and give their ideas about why things are this way and why things are that way. Listen with me, if you will, to why God says it's this way and how the world got into the mess it's in. He says in verse 19, "Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them," talking about the world. "For God has shown it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse." Can I say to you that every person born on the face of this earth understands two things? Number one, he understands God's eternal power and His Godhead. Every person knows there's a God. And number two, every person knows they're going to face Almighty God in the judgment. And because of that latter thing, the fact that they know they're going to face God in judgment and give account of themselves, that causes men oftentimes to deny the first. Watch what happens. Because when they knew God, the problem isn't that you don't know there's a God. Somebody says, what about the atheist? Well, the Bible says a fool has said in his heart, there's no God. You see, the problem with someone who denies the existence of God or is an atheist or an agnostic or somebody who just ignores it and says, I don't know, it doesn't make any difference. The problem there is a heart problem. It's not a head problem. It's not an intellectual problem. It's a heart problem. And the heart problem is that they know there's a God, and they know they're going to face Him in judgment, and they know they can't make it if they have to face a righteous God, and they're trying to develop a way to get around God and His judgment. It's just a dodge to get around the fact that the wages of sin is death, and that all of sin had come short of the glory of God. That's all it is. And the passage here is going to show you what happens when men take that dodge of getting around God. When they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful. But what did they do? They said, we're not going to have God. We're not going to pay attention to Him. We're not going to do it His way. We're not going to bow down before Him and be grateful to Him. We're going to do it our way. Now, I've said to people for many years, if you want to be God, what you need to do is just go right out in the front yard of your house, stand out there in the front yard, and create you a universe. And when you stand out there and create you a universe, then you can be God of that universe you created. You say, well, Brother Rick, I can't do that. That's right, you can't. And that means you can't be God. See? He's the Creator. But they didn't want to glorify Him as God. They wanted to take the position. Neither were they thankful. What happened? They became vain in their imaginations. Their imaginations, all these these plans and all these ideas they developed, all these ideas and things, we're going to do things our way. They became vain. The word vain means empty, useless. They became vain in their imaginations. They developed all these plans to get rid of God and to put themselves into His place. And their foolish heart, you see, the vain imaginations is defined as a foolish heart. The fool said in his heart, there's no God. I'm not going to have God rule me. I'll do it myself. The fool has said in his, their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. No real answer. No real way of coming to a conclusion. And they changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like the corruptible man. You know what they did? They developed a religion. They developed a religion so they could control God. And they throw out the revelation that God gives. They don't want His Word, His revelation. They want to do it their own way. Now notice what God does in response. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness, to the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who's blessed forever. Amen. That's amazing. The lie that Satan propagated to Adam and Eve in the garden, and the lie that has been propagated, the lie program all down through human history, which will ultimately culminate in the person of the Antichrist fighting against Jesus Christ, is identified right there. They worshiped and served the creature more than... You know what the lie is? The lie is making God out of the creature. It's the deification of the creature. And you know what God's response to that? Oh, they were wise about it. They developed their own... They became vain. They lifted themselves up in their imaginations. Their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. They developed all kind of dodges to get around it. They had their religion. They had their intellectualism and all the rest. And you know what God did? The judgment of God on the world was that He gave them up. He just gave them up. Let them go. Someone said one time that the most awful thing God could ever do would be just let someone go on in their own sinful ways. God gave them up. Acts chapter number 14. The Bible talks about it in Acts chapter number 14. And this event, when God gave them up, you'll find in your Bible in Genesis chapter number 11 at the Tower of Babel. Paul talks about it in Acts 14 verse 15. And he says, sirs, talking to some heathen people in Lystra, he says, why do you these things? We also are men of like passion with you and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God. Turn from these vain imaginations that you have unto the living God, which made heaven and earth, the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. God gave them up. He gave them up to do that which was according to their own wise plan. Acts 17:30, he says, the time of this ignorance God winked at. There's a time back here and time past when mankind came along. He knew God. He had the revelation from God. And there came a time here when man rebelled against God, and God just let man go right on in his ignorance, and God separated himself up here away from man, and he just let the world and mankind out here, the world of man called the Gentile nations, he just let them go on in their own way. Now, if you go back to Romans chapter 1, you'll see what happened to them. God's truth, God took his truth up here, and man was left with his lie down here. And the result is that God gave him up to uncleanness. Verse number 26 says, Romans 1:26, for this cause God gave them up unto vile affections. For even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature, and likewise also the man, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lust one toward another. Men with men working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. Did you understand, folks, that you don't know what that passage is talking about? That passage is talking about homosexual activity. And the Word of God says that, you know what that is? That's an evidence that God's given them up. This sophisticated, modern, chic society where men can just kind of overlook the different kind of lifestyles and all. Listen, the degradation of sin, men going deeper, women going deeper and deeper into the depths of sin. People say, well, we're not bothered by it. We're sophisticated. You know what that is? That's just a sign that God doesn't mess with them anymore. That's all that is. Just give them up. Let them go to the end of what they're doing. Just let them go. Verse 28 says, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. You know what? God gave them up spirit. He gave them up, gave up their soul. He gave up their body. He completely and totally gave mankind up and just let him go on his way in the lie program. You know something, folks? You need to get saved. You need to have the truth of God's Word. You know why? Because, folks, what you got out there in the world is the lie of the devil's program. You've got the lie of human viewpoint that rejects the truth of God and follows a lie and tries to make you into God and me into God and develops its own religious system out here that is designed to make someone like you and me into God. Verse 32 says, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the thing, but have pleasure in them that do them. That's the depths of sin. You know what this system down here is? That's the lie program. That's the lie program. You know what Paul begins to, you know what Paul does? When he begins to tell you about the fact that Jesus Christ, when he came, went to Calvary to die for your sins and to be the sacrifice for the weight and the load of your sins and have God put your sins on him and punish him there at Calvary for you. You know why he did that? Because, folks, you're down here in a situation where you're headed for the wrath of Almighty God to be poured out against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. They take that truth and they twist it and they turn it into a lie, and God's wrath is coming on them. You know something, folks? You need to get saved if you're not. And if you are saved, you need to understand something. The revelation of Almighty God isn't out here in the world system. It's not out here in the religious system. It's in the book that God gave. And the reason the things are the way they are is people reject His truth. And if you want an answer, the answer will be in coming to find the truth that God has given in His Word. Now, what Paul does when he starts out in presenting the gospel of grace is he lays out the backdrop of what's happened to the world. How'd the heathen get the way they are? How'd the world get in the way it is, situation it is? By rejecting the Word of God, the truth of God. The verse says, when they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God returned the favor. He gave them up to a reprobate, to a useless, worthless, vain mind that has no light, no understanding, just foolishness. Listen, God's Word is truth. And the truth of God's Word is a foundation that you can rest on. And the truth of God's grace that's provided for us through the finished work of Jesus Christ at Calvary is designed to take men and women, boys, people who are in their sins and give them salvation and redemption through what Jesus Christ did. Take us out from under the condemnation and deliver us into His marvelous light. His death at Calvary displays our sins in all of their blackness. The poet said, "Thus while His death my sin displays in all its blackest hue, such is the mystery of grace, it seals my pardon too." You see, what Calvary does is it says, this is what we did in our thinking, and that's what God's done for us by His grace. And when we turn from all that, all of our ways to the truth of God, then we can stand firmly and forever on the truth of what God has accomplished for us in Christ. Now, that truth is found in His Word. And we're interested in you being able to study the Bible, understand the Bible for yourself. That's why we offer you free cassette tapes every week right here. We want you to have some understanding in God's Word. Dan's going to come and tell you how you can get this free tape. We want to give it to you. It's not going to cost you anything. We're not going to put you on a mailing list to try to get money out of you. We want to try to share with you truth from God's Word, because that's what will make a difference. This little free cassette tape, have a Bible study that you can listen to in the quietness of your own home and the privacy of your own life, and study the details. You need to get into God's Word and let God's Word, let the words on the page of God's book make the difference in your life, and it will. It's what helps, what causes you to pass from death unto life when you rest in it by faith. Till next time, Maranatha.
Thank you, Brother Jordan, for that message from the Word of God. Friends, we have a cassette tape that we'd like you to have to go along with today's study. The tape is entitled, How the Heathen Got That Way. It's yours free of charge. It's our way of saying thanks for listening. We'll be happy to see that you receive your free copy, along with a free subscription to our monthly Bible study, The Grace Journal, if you simply write us here at The Message of Grace. The address should be on your screen. That's The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. If you prefer, you can also call us during normal business hours at area code 708-529-0520. Request tape offer number 217. That's tape offer number 217. The Message of Grace is a ministry of Grace School of the Bible, and we're glad you've been with us here today. If our study together has been a help to you, we'd be happy to put you in touch with the Bible study in this area, where the message of God's wonderful grace is proclaimed from His rightly divided Word. And friend, if you are still not sure of salvation, that your sins are forgiven, and that you have eternal life as a present possession, let us know, and we'll be happy to send some gospel literature that will show you the way. That address again is The Message of Grace, Box 97, Bloomingdale, Illinois, 60108. Thanks for being with us today, and God's best until we meet next time for another Message of Grace.